Joining me now, Michael Sharp. Good to see you, Michael, again after your little sojourn from the studio. And Michael's going to talk today about Mary Costello's book, her novel Academy Street, which was winner of the Irish Book Awards Novel of the Year, which is sponsored by Easons in... was also shortlisted for the Costa First Novel Award, and it's got some decent reviews, packed with emotional intensity, the Sunday Times has described it as. What's it all about, Michael?
It's about a life, basically. The character, main character, is a woman called Tess Lohan, and the book starts in 1944.
Right.
Tess is 7 years old, living in the west of Ireland. She's one of six children. Four of them are older than her, and she's a baby brother. And at the start of the book, her mother has just died. Quite young. The mother just died at the age of 40, leaving the father to bring up six children. As I say, Tess is the second youngest. She's about seven. There's a baby who's still an infant and who is now farmed out, because obviously the father isn't in and the rest of the children aren't in a position to look after the baby, so an aunt takes the baby.
Is Tess
for a couple of years
as the narrator throughout the
acts as the narrator.
Yeah.
And as I said, it starts in 1944. Basically, it covers her life for about the next 60 years and what happens to her. Or in many respects, what doesn't happen to her, because she lives not a particularly eventful life.
Right.
You could say things happen to her rather than she driving anything. And yet, probably it's interesting in the sense that maybe that's the way a lot of people live.
Ordinary lives.
Ordinary lives.
It's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's true of the great proportions of people's lives that we do sort of encounter a lot of ordinariness, isn't it?
Yeah, as I said, she's the second youngest of a family of six. The eldest is, I think it's her brother. Well, the oldest are quite a few years older than her. She has a sister who is just married or about to be married when the book starts, and an older brother who is obviously going to inherit the farm and does.
Right.
And then
she's the second youngest.
Couple of sisters and then a baby brother. She's seven, and so she's just starting school when the novel starts. Her father is a bit like sort of the father in, I suppose, John McGahern's books, you know, who suffers from the death of a wife at a young age, leaving a family, and the father, probably in the time of the 1940s, is seen as probably rather distant and probably a bit angry about the hand that the...
It's quite a social proposition, isn't it, for 1944's West
1944, country, and they live, they're not a poor family. They live in a large house, which was obviously a manor house in days gone by.
Yeah.
Tess learns from her school teacher, one of her school teachers, the history of the house, that it was built in the 17th century. It was a manor house, and during the famine, it was used as a famine hospital.
Right, so it's considerable.
But it's now a big house, and the six children.
Are we specific about what town or what end of the West?
It's
set around.
Not particularly. I don't think that it's mentioned exactly whereabouts. It's in the west of Ireland. I mean, you could guess that it's probably
terms.
Galway, since Mary Costello is from Galway.
Oh, right.
But Tess grows up. She has a somewhat uneventful, so she's sent away to boarding school with one of her sisters. Her eldest sister is married at this stage. She experiences, as a lot of young children do, extreme loneliness in boarding school. And in fact, loneliness is somewhat of a theme of the book, because Tess is a rather shy and retiring individual. She doesn't at any stage make huge numbers of friends. Right. She has acquaintances, but very few people that you would classify as friends.
Well, what was her father's occupation or
profession?
As a farmer.
They have a farm. They have a farm, and the father works the farm, and there's a, they have a farm labourer who's, you know, very friendly with Tess. She looks up to him. Michael Connolly, she refers to him affectionately.
Right.
But she eventually finishes school, and in one of the few initiatives that she takes herself, decides to write to a hospital in Dublin to see about training to be a nurse. And she's accepted, and she travels up to Dublin.
Right.
And in a way, reading the book, you think, well, now it'll take off. You know, she's in the way one thinks of with young people. You know, she's escaped the family background, and she's in Dublin on her own. But in fact, it doesn't happen. She just works in the hospital, and she makes a few acquaintances and gets to know a few people. But nothing. Life goes on in a pretty routine way. But then when she's in the early 60s, 1962, at which stage she's in her early 20s, she decides to go to the States. One of her sisters has already gone to the States.
Has she become a nurse at this stage?
She's been nursing for a couple of years in Dublin, and she reckons she can get a job as a nurse in the States.
Yeah.
She has, as a lot of families did, she has relations. She has an aunt in the States. One of her older sisters has gone to the States a couple of years before. And in fact, when Tess describes her going to the States, she experiences there's a certain amount of pang of jealousy that this sister is getting out and getting away from things. So Tess decides to go. And again, you reckon, well, now she's, you know, she's independent and she's...
Are you sort of held on a suspense or the anticipation of something happening, are you?
In a way, you're sort of... Well, like that you think things are going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, that there'll be some twists and turns and changes.
Right.
But in fact, her character remains the same throughout. I mean, I read the paragraph that where she's where she's just arrived in the States.
Yeah, please do.
Slowly in the months that followed, Tess tuned in to the frequency of the city, the accents and the street grid and the subway, to the black faces on the sidewalk, the sirens at night, the 5 and 10 cent stores teeming with goods, and buildings that rose up daily from gaps in the streets. The new words, too. Pocketbook, meatloaf, Luna beans, Jello, the taste of coffee, the clothes so lovely and cheap and slim-fitting, the abundance of everything. So she appreciates New York. You know, this is New York in the 50s, you know, and it's a completely new world for her. But in fact, she just settles in. She starts up living with her aunt. She visits her sister, who by this stage is married. And
does she come across as a laid-back character? I mean,
she's not laid-back so much. She's shy.
Developed.
She's shy and very much is an introvert and doesn't do very much. She visits her sister, who's, as I said, married with a couple of children at this stage. She lives with her aunt. Eventually, she moves out from the aunt and gets her own apartment in Academy Street in Manhattan, which is the title of the book, Academy Street. And she lives there for the next 50 years.
Right.
And things happen to her. She works as a nurse. She makes acquaintances, not very close friends, but acquaintances.
Do we have any developing romances?
Yeah, she, I was just about to say that. She meets a young man who she falls in love with, or feels she's fallen in love with him, and feels that he's feels the same. Eventually, they go to bed together one night, but he's gone in the morning.
Right.
And she discovers shortly thereafter she's pregnant. She knew he was going off to join the Air Force, so he's gone out of her life.
Right.
And she never really makes any great attempt to find him. She does write a couple of letters, but she gets no response, and so
there's no great plot development along those lines.
No, there's no great plot development. The only thing is that
the father. Like.
She has a child, a little boy, who she christens Theo. And then she has a very happy period of the book where Theo grows up in the apartment with her and she does all the normal motherly things, taking him to the park and so on and so forth. And she enjoys his childhood. But as soon as he leaves school and goes to college, he gets out. He leaves, he's gets gone. His own apartment, and then settles down, gets married, has children. And again, her contact with him is very little. And he comes back. I mean, she goes and visits him and his family. But there's a certain distance in it. And he tells her at one stage that, whereas he appreciated what she did, that there was always something missing, you know. And she says, right. Well, I did the best I could.
I mean, a description even, or the atmosphere of that parallel universe that's rushing along beside her?
The only friend she makes.
Where is that happening? Are we excluded from
She's living through the Kennedy period and so on.
Are we getting the young brother
who was a baby at the start is now a young man. He comes out to the States and he's an gorgeously handsome young man, and she likens him to the Kennedys. But he spends some time, he works in the construction, gets a job in construction.
Right.
But eventually he just disappears. She makes a few efforts to find him and fails and never does find him, and he disappears. Nobody else in the family. She never goes back to Ireland. She gets news about her from Ireland from time to time. Occasionally she muses about how her life might have been in Ireland, how she would never have been able to keep Theo, the baby, keep her own baby. If this had happened to her in Ireland, where she was able to do it in New York. The only real friend she makes is a coloured woman, a coloured family who live in the apartment building or with her, and she becomes very friendly, particularly with the wife and that family. And she continues to work. And
so it's just a general. It's just a story of a generally ordinary life.
Theo grows up, marries, has children, and then is killed in the 9/11 disaster in 2001.
Oh my goodness!
And so she goes along to his funeral, meets his wife. She's met his wife, obviously, the children beforehand, and she's visited them. So the Christmas after that, she goes and stays with them for Christmas. But she realises that she isn't really a part of their life, and gradually she'll disappear out of their lives. And the same has happened with her elder sister, the sister who was in the States before she came out, that where she went and visited her for a few times, her and her husband and her children. They then moved to California, and then she heard her sister got ill. The sister died.
Goodness, do you know?
She writes to the her brother-in-law, but the reply she gets is very non-committal, and she realizes that, well, he's moved on, and you know, he's no real interest in keeping up any correspondence or relationship of any sort.
Just listening to you, Michael, I'm sort of getting a feeling of as you said at the beginning, there's a lot about loneliness in this book, isn't it? Do we get referrals back to her mother or the relationship?
She talks about certainly in the early chapters when she's a little girl, she's remembering about things that happened with her mother.
Right.
But you know, she gets news from Ireland. I mean, she eventually hears her father has died.
Right.
And she hears, you know, the other sister got married and so on. She never returns to Ireland until the very end of the book.
Right.
She goes back. Dennis, her brother, who has inherited the farm, Dennis dies. By this stage, I mean, she's in her 60s. She's retired from work herself.
Yes.
Dennis has died, and she goes back for his funeral. Excuse me. She goes back for his funeral, And the book ends basically where she's
back in the West country.
Back in the West.
Right.
The house where they lived, Easterfield, Dennis has, when he inherited the farm, he built a new bungalow for himself and his family. His family are now grown up. You know, he's died,
but he's
probably 70-odd. His family are grown up and have their own children. And so the end of the last few paragraphs of the book describes her at his funeral. The cortege followed the hearse up the avenue and turned right onto the main road. For half a mile, they drove along Easterfield's perimeter wall. Easterfield was the big house they lived in.
Right.
This was it. This was her life, the summation of her life. Her dreams run out. She would not encounter love again. She would not lie down with a man or hold a child in her arms. She was at the end of her destiny. She turned her head, looked down over the open, sloping fields, with the avenue on the right and the groves of old trees, oak and beech in the distance. And then she leaned forward, her eyes drawn to the slate roofs and stone walls of the outbuildings, the courtyard, the orchard. And then she saw it, the gap where the house had been, the absence at the centre of things, an absence that was an injury, a scar on the land. She put her hand to her heart. The house was gone, turned to dust. The earth was mortally wounded. She felt the distress, the long unrest, the silent suffering of the fields and the beasts, the barns, the grieving ground, and the walls and the trees with the little birds in the boughs all gather round, bowing down in sorrow. That night she dreamt. She heard the land weeping. At dawn she heard the clarion call of the city. Streets waiting for her footsteps. Doors to be open. Books to be read. Her life as it had been. And all the days to be got through. The endless days. The nights. The silent rooms. There was no Eden. There would be no Eden. No radiant streaming. No transformation. Just time. And tasks made lighter by the memory of love. And days like all others. When she would put one foot in front of the other. And walk on, obedient to fate.
Do you know, it does sound a wee bit like the sort of a reconciliation that maybe men go through. You know, I'm just thinking of an analogous parallel that, you know, when men come of a certain age in their mid-50s or something, they have to reconcile themselves with, you know, what has not been.
Yeah.
You know,
well, that's what it is.
And just to
well, that's
you
it's
know,
about... It's
like
about,
a female it's equivalent,
just,
you know.
Yeah, it's just a life, you know, and it's... I mean, it's a very short book. It's less than 200 pages, but it is so beautifully written as you can capture. I think from those quotations.
I was listening to you. It's fascinating.
It's just a story of a very ordinary life.
Delicately enchanting in a way,
and she's a shy, introverted person, and occasionally she gets glimpses of what might have been. Maybe things could have been different, or that could have been different. But
yeah.
This is a novel where little happens for four decades. The less I say about it all, the better. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's just...
Academy Street by Mary Costello.
Mary Costello.
Thank you very much, Michael. Okay. That was different. Thank you, Michael.